Okay, good morning everybody, good Chodesh, and as always, welcome to the Shir. I realize that today we're off schedule because of Rosh Chodesh davening, so I will attempt to make this relatively quick so that everyone could get out at a time that is convenient for them, at a time that they're used to being out on Sunday morning. Parshas Mishpatim deals with many different topics, but one of them is the laws of damages. The laws of damages are mentioned. Pretty much all of the mazikim are mentioned. The those who have studied Maseches Bava Kamma are familiar with the concept of mazikim, the different types of damages that a person can cause to others, whether it's begufo, b'mamono, whether it's he himself or through his property. The Torah speaks at length in the parasha about if a person's property causes damage to someone else's property, for example, a person's animal, shor, the Torah speaks about kiyigach shorish, shoreyeh, etc. So that is the topic of niske mamono, where a person's property damages someone else. But there is also the topic which is alluded to in the parasha, not quite at the same length, is also mentioned in Parshas Emor, and that is the idea of Adam Hamazik, a person who does damage himself to someone else, whether it's directly or indirectly. And it's that topic that I would like to speak about today, because I think that it's important to know at least the basic parameters of what is considered damage, what is considered something that a person should be careful not to do to someone else. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Kamma and Dachlame, the Gemara says that Harotza Lios Chosid, that a person who wants to be considered a pious individual, what should he do? So there are different opinions that are brought. We mentioned this recently. So one of the opinions brought is that he should be Lakayim Mili de Avos, that he should fulfill those matters that are discussed in Pirkei Avos, the ethical, moral conduct. And then there's an opinion in the Gemara that says Lakayim Mili de Brachas, which we mentioned recently when we had the shiur about brachas. But there is another opinion in the Gemara that L'kayim mili d'nezikim, that the person, if he wants to be considered a pious person, should be scrupulous when it comes to matters of damaging others. Which means that this is a something which apparently is not so uncommon, meaning you think, well, when do I ever do anything to anybody else? But apparently there are cases that we're not always aware of, and the Chazal are telling us that is, it's the being concerned, being diligent in these matters. If a person is extra diligent, then he can be considered a chassid, he can be considered a truly pious person. So I would like to start here. Actually, the sheet is slightly out of order. If you turn the page here to the second side of the first sheet. Okay, so we have here in the Torah, now the Torah, the truth is, what's interesting is that if a person looks in Parshas Mishpatim and a person learns Maseches Bava Kamma, so the whole discussion in the Gemara deals with, if this happens, do you have to pay? If that happens, do you have to pay? But what about, are you allowed to do it in the first place? In other words, let's say a person says, well, I'll damage somebody else and I'll pay him. I have the money, but you know, whatever. I'll teach him a lesson. So right, I'm angry at this fellow. So I'll break his window and I'll pay him afterwards. No problem. I'll write him a check. So is that mutter or asr? So if you look in the Chumash, you will not see anywhere. It's interesting. You will not see anywhere specifically that it says that is prohibited. However, the Torah tells us at the very beginning of the laws of Nezikin. It's here on the sheet. The Torah says, "Kishem she'asur ligno v'ligzo mamon chavero," that in the same way that it is prohibited to steal in any way someone else's money, kach asur lahazik mamon shelo, so too it is prohibited to go ahead and damage someone else's property, afil she'eno nene, even if you derive absolutely no benefit from what you did. In other words, we have in the Torah, it seems that what the Torah is saying is that we do have in the Torah very clearly stated prohibitions against stealing. The Torah speaks about in several places, and lo signohu, etc., that the person should not steal. And there, you're taking someone else's money, and presumably you're taking it and you're going to benefit from it. But to damage someone else's property, the Torah tells us, is This is a similar idea. It's similar to stealing. And it seems that the Torah is saying that this is included in the prohibition of the Torah that you shouldn't steal. You also shouldn't damage. Because when you're damaging somebody, you're taking somebody's, you're taking his money, breaking his window. So you just stole his money. The window cost $100, let's say. Right? So you just took $100 from him. So according to the Torah, it seems that it is included, this is an offshoot, even though the Torah does not directly discuss this matter. But nevertheless, as far as the Torah speaks about liability, the Torah doesn't speak about mutter or usser in those terms. Says the Torah that this is included in the Isser of Geneva. That this is included in the Isser of Geneva, and it's similar, the same way you can't take someone else's money, and you can't take someone else's money even if you're not going to benefit from it, so too you can't damage somebody even in a situation that you cannot benefit from it. So in this matter, we have, as I said at the outset, we have the different forms, the different ways that a person can be responsible for the damage caused to some other person. But the most common, especially in our times, where we don't have commonly animals walking around, maybe people have dogs, which could create problems in different situations, and there you would have it. But the ox that the Torah speaks about, you know, that one ox will gore another ox, it's not common in our settings. But what is very common is the concept of Adam Hamazik, is what's called Niske Gufo. A person goes ahead and does damage, the person himself goes ahead and does damage. So we have in this connection, if you turn back to the first sheet, so the Mishnah in Bava Kamma tells us that when it comes to a person causing damage, we have a very, very strict halacha. And that is, the Mishnah tells us on Daf Chavav, Adam Mu'ed La'olam, that a person is always considered a mu'ud. A mu'ud means, loosely translated, is always considered prone to damage. In other words, we know that when it comes to animals, so the damage that my animal causes someone else, it depends, the type of damage that took place impacts on the degree of my liability. So if it was a common type of damage, for example, if my dog went into somebody's backyard and ate from his flowers or from his fruits or whatever, his vegetables, whatever he has growing there, so that would be the type of damage that's called a mu'ud, that's called the damage that an animal is prone to do. And that is treated one way. There the halacha is that a person has to pay the full payment. However, there are other damages that can be caused by a person's animal, which the animal is not considered prone to do. Okay? And for example, the Gemara in Bava Kamma lists off what's commonly known as the Mazik of Karen, the idea of an animal bites someone or kicks someone or things along those lines, so, and causes damage. So the liability to the owner is less because of the fact that the animal that did this is not considered a mu'ud, meaning is not considered prone to do this. If he's not prone to do this, then why should I have to pay for that? After all, the reason why I am incurring the liability is because of the fact that I should have watched and made sure this didn't happen. But if this is the type of thing that's not prone to happen, so then I don't have to pay as much. This is a basic principle. And you have to understand, I really should have started off with this, that when the Torah speaks about liability for damages, it has to be taken in a different context than what we have today in America. Okay, we have here today, we're in the legal system, and it's become the minhag that you could sue people for just about everything, right? And even if it's your fault, if a person with high blood pressure goes into McDonald's and eats a triple cheeseburger and has a heart attack on the spot, he could file a lawsuit against them because who knows, maybe they should have thought about it and told him that he should watch himself or who knows what. We have all kinds of lawsuits and responsibility that's assigned where it's not really a person with seichel even would say that this is not justified. Why should that be? Why should they be liable for this? It wasn't their fault. In the Torah, the halacha is very, very medactic. The halacha is very, very careful that it has to be considered the responsibility of the person who you're holding liable. If you're holding this person, you know, that they should pay for the damages, well, it has to be their fault. fault. So when it comes to damage that is inflicted by my animal, so there the Torah distinguishes between those that the animal is prone to do and those that the animal is not prone to do. And that's what's called commonly, those who learn Maseches Bava Kamma, one of the commonly learned Maseches, so especially in yeshivas, that is the distinction between a tam and a mu'ud. Okay, a tam means a damage that it was not prone to do, a mu'ud means it was prone to do. And when it comes to Adam, says the Mishnah, when it comes to a person is mu'ud l'olam. A person is prone to do damages always, under any circumstances, and is held liable for such things. Okay, bein mis, and the Mishnah continues and says an amazing halacha, bein shogeg, bein mezid, whether it was done, mezid means it was done intentionally, which we could all relate to, but bein shogeg, even if it was done unintentionally. The Mishnah says further, bein or, bein yoshein, and so too, whether the person was awake, or the person was asleep. If a person committed a damage in their sleep, they would still have to pay for it. What would be an example of that? So the common example that's used is if a person went to sleep next to, let's say, a night table, okay, and somebody had left an item of theirs, let's say a glass, on top of the table, and so Reuven went to sleep, Shimon's glass is sitting on top of the table, and in the middle of his sleep, Reuven rolls over, he stretches out his hand, and knocks over the glass, and the glass falls to the ground and breaks. So the halacha is that Reuven has to pay. Why does Reuven have to pay? He'll say, but he was sound asleep, he didn't do it intentionally. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that Adam Mu'ud L'Olam, that a person is always held to be accountable for his actions, even if he's sleeping. And the explanation behind that is that when he went to sleep, he should have taken into consideration, there's a glass there. So I have to be careful. Maybe I should sleep on the other side of the bed. Maybe I should move the glass somewhere else. Maybe I should take some other precaution. But this is the extent to which we find the din of Adam HaMazik. Yes? After he went to sleep. Okay, so the Rishonim all are quick to point out that if the person put the glass there after he went to sleep, then he would be potter. In other words, if I went to sleep, there was no glass there, and then a glass was put there, then I would be putter. But why that is a big machlokas in the Rishonim. In other words, that's a very big argument, which we'll soon see. But the halacha is, you're right, that you would be putter in that case. Now, why is this so? Why is it that a person is considered to be prone to do damage to the extent that we hold them liable for such things? Right? In other words, to such a degree, I mean, after all, I consider myself a generally speaking peace-loving person. I don't go around trying to damage people. And if I did cause someone damage, I think I would have to say, speaking for myself, that it probably, you couldn't really say, am I prone to this? Am I the type of person that goes around looking to hurt other people? But yet, this is the halacha, or the mu'ud l'olam. So in the Gemara here, if you go to the second, it's sort of like the second paragraph on the top line, the Gemara says, "Mino ani mili." Ask the Gemara, where do we know this from? Amar Chizkia v'chein tana de v'chizkia. Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, this is the connection to the parasha yesterday. The Pasuk says, "Petza tachas patza." The Pasuk is listed here on the top of the page. L'chaivo al hashoge kemezid v'al ha'ones keratzon. That we have a pasuk where the Torah says that if one person damages another person, so then the famous an eye for an eye, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, yad tachas yad, and then the pasuk says kviya tachas kviya, that a burn, that whatever you, if you cause the person that pain that he was burnt, so you would have to pay for that. Petza tachas patza, a wound for a wound. Meaning that if a person wounds somebody, he has to pay. Now how does that teach us this halacha? So Rashi explains in the Gemara that really this pasuk is not necessary because of the fact that in another place the Torah says that v'kiyitein ish mum ba'amiso, that if a person goes ahead and inflicts a wound in his friend, so he has to pay. So there's already a general statement that covers the idea that if you hurt somebody or damage somebody, you have to pay them. So why here do we have this very specific drasha, this very specific pasuk of petza tachas patza? So the Chazal interpreted this pasuk to be teaching us, these words to be teaching us, that there is a, that the chiyuv is even greater than we would have thought. The obligation to pay is even greater. We would have thought that a person only has to pay if he's known to do this or whatever. Comes along the pasuk petza tachas patza and teaches us this great chiddush in halacha, other more law, that a person is always responsible for damage that he does. Yes. So we'll see. Hold on. Hopefully we'll get to that. We'll see. So now, right? So this is now you may ask, you know, just if you're looking at the pasuk, you may say, why did they pick the words petza tachas patza? Why didn't they pick the first words in the pasuk kviya tachas kviya? So Rashi there deals with that the Gemara in the 8th parak of Bava Kama has a different drasha from the words kviya tachas kviya. But the fact of the matter is that from these words petza tachas patza, we learn out this halacha. Now, this being the case, it would seem, in other words, in effect, it's like a gzeris hakosov. In other words, the Torah here went out of its way, despite the fact that in another pasuk, the Torah had told us that if a person harms somebody else, he has to pay him. Despite the fact that we have that pasuk, nevertheless, this pasuk is teaching us an additional chiddush. This pasuk is teaching us the extent to which Adam HaMazik is held accountable. So now, the question is, where do you draw the line? Or do you draw the line anywhere? Now, as one could say that, well, if that's the case, so Zeres HaKosov, that's what the Torah said. If that's what the Torah said, then it makes no difference whether the person bears any liability or any responsibility or not. Meaning that, listen, the Torah is saying that a person always has to pay. You cause damage, you have to pay. It's not your fault. What could you do? But that's the way it is. And the fact of the matter is that so it is mashma from the Rambam. If you turn over the page, the Rambam here says in the 6th parak of Hilchos Chovah Mazik, the Rambam, he doesn't say it explicitly, but it seems pretty clear from the Rambam, Hamazik Momen Chavero Chayav L'Shalim Nezik Shalim. The Rambam says that if a person damages his fellow man's mamon, fellow man's property in any way, or his goof, he has to pay Nezik Shalim, Bein Shahaya Shogeg, Bein Shahaya Onus, Harehu Kemezid, whether or not it was unintentional, even if it was onus, even if it was against his will, he still has to pay. Ketzad, says the Rambam, what would be an example? So, citing the Gemara in Bava Kama, Nafal Min Agag, if a person happened to be standing on his roof, and he fell off the roof, and in the court, which obviously was not something he was planning on doing, he fell off the roof, and under the roof there were kelim, there were items that belonged to his neighbor, v'shivres ha-kelim, and he fell onto these kelim, he fell onto these items, and he broke them. Okay? Osha niskal v'shuhu mahalach v'nafo akli, or he tripped when he was walking in the street, not due to any fault of his own, he tripped, and he fell onto someone else's item, and he broke it, v'shivro chayiv nezek sholem. Okay? He is chayiv nezek sholem. Now, interestingly here, the Rambam quotes not the pasuk that's in the Gemara, but shenema of the pasuk in Pashas Emor, shenema umake behem yishalmena, v'ochiru kakosav ben shogel umezit. Okay, the Rambam says the Torah makes no distinctions. And therefore, it seems in the Rambam's view that therefore a person would be held accountable for anything. It makes no difference if it's not his fault. In other words, I would have said that if it's his fault to some degree, he should have been extra cautious, like the fellow who went to sleep with the glass on the night table. So then, okay, you know, on the one hand, it wasn't malicious. On the other hand, but it was a little careless because you knew it was there, and a person sleeping is prone, could be that such a thing could happen. So there's some degree of carelessness there. From the Rambam, it's mashma, even if it's not your fault at all, the halacha is you have to pay. Now, it happens to be that this is a very great debate amongst the Rishonim. There's a Tosfos from Maseches Bava Kama at the beginning of the 3rd parak that takes issue with this and wants to make distinctions and wants to say that there are different types of onsim. There's what's called onus kein geneva, and there's what's called onus kein aveda, that there are certain times you could have an ones that you're a little more responsible for, or you could have an ones that really it was completely out of your control. So basically, the halacha, if one looks in the Shulchan Aruch, if one looks in the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Shulchan Aruch, if you turn to page 3, the Shulchan Aruch says, Osur lahazik mamon chavero, that it is forbidden to damage someone else's property. Again, not only do you have to pay, but it is forbidden to do it. So even if you're willing to pay, it doesn't help. Okay? So he says, Dimhiziko afopi she'eno nene chayev l'shalim. If you damaged him, even though you didn't get any benefit, you have to pay nezek shalom, you have to pay the full amount. Whether you did it unintentionally or intentionally, or even if, whether it was done unintentionally, or even if it was done out of the person's control. So here, the Ramah inserts, v'dafka she'eino onus gomor. The Ramah inserts that this is only in a case where it was not an ones gomor. If it was an ones gomor, if it was something that is deemed to be completely out of the person's control, then it's different. Now, what would be an example of that? So it's very unclear. So if you turn back to page 2, the Rambam himself, who is of the opinion that, as we saw a moment ago, that the Torah does not distinguish, that the Torah says a person is always responsible for damages, and that's it. But the Rambam is quoted here in the Torah. I put it here because you'll see why. He says, Kosef HaRambam, halfway through the quote in the Torah, he says, Kosef HaRambam. So the Rambam himself writes, Hayo'ola besulam, if a person was climbing a ladder, v'nishbita hashliva mitachtav, and the rung of the ladder broke, v'nafal, and he fell, v'hizik, and he caused damage. So says the Rambam, in lo haisa chazoko mudekas heitev, if the rung of the ladder was not firmly in place, then chayev, then the person is responsible, presumably because he should have seen to it that he had a good ladder to climb on before he did it. However, he says, v'im haisa chazoko mudekas, if it had been inserted properly, v'hitliya, but due to worms or something, it had become somewhat eroded. Then says the Rambam Potter. Then even the Rambam says you would be Potter. Why? Shezu maka bidei shamayim hi. Because this is what we would call today an act of God. In other words, that's something that you'll say, well, what's that? What was I supposed to do? So says the Rambam. However, probably everyone has the kashi, brings right here, the Ravid asks on the Rambam and says, why should that be different than a guy who got blown off the roof of his house? If a fellow climbed up to the roof of his house and the wind came and blew him off and he fell onto some property and damaged it, so that he's chayev, the Rambam himself says he's chayev, so why is it different if the rung of the ladder had worms in it? He should have checked that out. So the Ravid disagrees with this psak, and the Ravid says that this would not be considered an act of God. However, whether or not you take this specific case to be a makabi de shamayim, but it's clear that even the Rambam would hold that in a very, very unusual circumstance, if a tornado wind came and blew a person onto the person, and Rahman al-Tzal was in the street, and he got caught, and a tornado came and blew him onto someone else's property, and he broke something, so there, even the Rambam would say that you don't have to pay for, because that, he says, is a makabi de shamayim. So what comes out of this is a certain degree of unclarity in terms of how do we define an ones gomor. In other words, it seems that everybody agrees that essentially a person is responsible for his actions, and a person is responsible for damage that even if he's a peace-loving person and a person who is very kind and compassionate and charitable, it doesn't matter if somehow you cause someone else damage, even if it was essentially not due to your own fault, you have to pay. Okay, so if a person is walking in the street and trips, which could happen, and he falls onto his neighbor's picket fence or whatever, and it breaks, so he can, and maybe there was something in the street, there was a crack in the pavement or whatever it was, and he tripped over that, now what does he have to pay? Because of the fact that when it comes to Adam HaMazik, the Torah is very strict, and the person is responsible. The only time that there's really would be an exception is if it's clearly an onus gomer, if it's something that's totally, totally out of control, to the point that the Rambam says, would be deemed to be a makabid eshamayim, that's the Rambam's opinion. Now, in terms of halacha l'maisa, I tried to come out with some clarity here. I looked pretty well into it. It's very hard to come up with exactly what the guideline is. And therefore, if should such a thing happen, that a person had a situation where he feels mamish and ones, that there's nothing I could have done. There was nothing I could have done. It was out of my control completely. There was a fellow walking in the street, you could always say that, well, he should have watched where he was going. If he would have been more careful and watched every step that he was taking, so this wouldn't have happened. But what is the guideline of where it's completely out of person's control? This is a big shaila that a person really would have to ask an expert in the halachos of Chosh Mishpat to find out when responsible and when not. So this is, but the basic assumption would be that a person would be responsible unless he could really make the claim that it was very, very much out of his control. Okay, now, we continue. If you turn over to page 3, there are, however, certain limitations in the chiyuv of Adam HaMazik. Okay? And that is as follows. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Braisa tells us on Daf Nun Hei, remarkable halacha. The Gemara says, Tanya Amar Rav Yeshua. That Rav Yeshua said, Arba Dvarim, there are four types of things that Ha'osa Osan Potter Midine Adam V'chayev Bidine Shemayim. There are four types of damages that if a person damages in these ways, he's potter b'dinei adam, meaning that if you sued him in court, he would not have to pay. However, he would be held responsible b'dinei shamayim. In other words, in heaven, they're going to hold him responsible. A court on this earth cannot extract money, monetary payment for this. But b'dinei shamayim, damages in general, the general rule is that if you damage somebody in such a way that he can't prove it. So in the American law, great, you won the case, you know, terrific. I got off, they have no proof. So I was just recalling that this blizzard that took place over the weekend in the Northeast. So I was recalling to one of the students in the yeshiva that I remember years ago when I was a bocher in the yeshiva Chavetz Chaim in Queens. So I had my own car. And there was an impending blizzard supposed to come on a Friday night. So it happened to be that in the old building of the yeshiva in Forest Hills in Queens, there was a bus stop right in front of the building, and there was a parking space right behind that bus stop. So using my Gemara cup, I figured out that if I got that parking space before the blizzard, I wouldn't have to dig out my car because the city had to plow out the bus stop. So I figured it's perfect. So I parked my. I waited till everybody was. Nobody was paying attention. Everybody was in the base medrash. And the spot opened up. I pounced upon it. I parked my car there. Chaste Hashem. And I said, "This is no problem." They were expecting a foot and a half of snow. No problem. I'll come out next after Shabbos. I'll be able to drive right out. So Shabbos morning, everyone came out to see the big blizzard that took place mainly overnight. And someone said to me, you know, the front of your car looks like an accordion. So I said, really, that's interesting. I don't recall purchasing a car in that configuration. So sure enough, I went out, and to my horror, I saw that the front of the car was smashed. But upon further inspection, it was very clear. You could see the scrape marks on the car from a plow. In other words, I was right. The city came to plow out the bus stop, and they did such a good job that the very powerful snow plow, which was capable of removing the mountains of snow in one swoop, also smashed in the whole front of my car. But I thought to myself, Hashem Yirachem, but now I got a lawsuit against the city. So I even got the tow truck driver came, and as soon as he saw it, he said, for sure, there's no question. He said, anyone who sees this, it's clear as the day that will happen, that's what happened. So sure enough, I called the local municipality to see what I could do about it. So they said to me, we'll pay you if you have a witness. So I said, it happened overnight. So he said, we'll pay you if you have a witness. So I called someone else to try to, a non-Jewish fellow, to try to see what I could do about it. So he said, it's very simple, get a witness. So I said, but it was in the middle of the night, I don't have a witness. So he said, you don't understand what I'm saying, get a witness. Okay, so now I wasn't ready to do that, I wasn't going to pay someone to lie. So I ended up eating the loss. And that was it. So from my great chachma, which just shows you that the old Yiddish expression that a mensch tracht und Gott lacht, right? That a person thinks he has it all figured out, God has other plans. But the fact of the matter is that in that situation, they didn't pay me. Why not? Because they don't have a witness. So they could laugh about it and I could cry about it. But the Chazal tell us that in that type of situation, a person is chayev b'dinei shamayim. That a person, you got off in this world, you won't go to court. So what? But they'll get you in the next world. See, that you want to pay for, you'd rather pay in this world than pay over there. So this is in general a concept that we have, that there are cases which we're about to see where a person is not responsible, but yet he's chayiv, meaning that no court can make him pay. Because of whatever the circumstances may be. But in all such cases, he's chayiv b'dinei shamayim. So that in the heavenly court, they're going to hold him responsible. He's going to be sued in the heavenly court. And there is, what's he going to answer? They know the truth. They're not going to say, go get a witness. So, what's that?
If he does pay, he's off the hook.
If he pays, he's off the hook. So therefore, this is something to bear in mind. But with that in mind, we have here the Braisa. The Braisa says, what are cases that a person would be part of b'dinei adam mechayev b'dinei shamayim? Says the Braisa of Eluhain, haporeitz geder b'fnei behemas chavero. If a person has his animal in his backyard and it is locked up behind the fence, and you go ahead and open the fence, and the animal walks out and disappears. So you have not stolen his animal directly. And therefore, what can you accuse me, if I'm the person who did that, what could you accuse me of? I didn't steal it. I didn't damage it. All I did was make it possible that the animal should escape. So for this, there is no liability in a beistin. Because of the fact that it doesn't fit any of the cases of the Torah. It's not a mazik, it's not a ganif. However, this is what's called in halacha a grumma. A grumma means that I indirectly caused the problem. In other words, I didn't take the animal myself. I opened the gate and the animal went out. And the Mishnah says other examples. If there is a fire raging and my neighbor has certain things, you know, certain things growing in his property, and I go ahead and bend over his items so that when the fire comes, they will burn his items. So I didn't directly burn them, but nevertheless, this is considered a grumma. And it says further, "V'hasocher eidei sheker l'hoed." If a person hires a false witness, which is what they wanted me to do, to hire a false witness to go ahead and extract money that he's not capable of doing, so again, I didn't do it, I just made it possible that he should do it. Nevertheless, that is chayav b'dinei shamayim. And the fourth case, which could have relevance to us, V'hayodeya eidus l'chaveiro v'eino meidlo. If a person knows testimony that could help his friend in court and he holds it back, he doesn't say it, he doesn't want to go down, I don't want to get involved, but you can help him. So, and if you don't say it, he's going to be in trouble. So this is also called grumma b'nezakin, and this is the type of thing where you can't be directly held responsible. Because it's not directly your fault. You didn't do the damage directly. However, you caused this to happen. So this type of thing, on the one hand, the halacha, the chiddush in halacha, which probably in the civil law is not that way, is that, you know, for this you don't have to pay because I didn't do it myself. However, since I caused it to happen, so that a person is chayav b'dinei shamayim. Yeah, go ahead.
How about damages due to mental cruelty?
Okay, we'll see. That would also, you mean where you harass somebody?
Yeah,
okay, so that would probably, we'll get to that. Well, hopefully. So these are laws called grumma. Now, it should be pointed out that within the laws of grumma, there are certain cases of even an indirect damage for which a person has to pay, and that is what's called in the halacha cases of garmi. Garmi means that it is a more of a, it's hard to know exactly. There's a dispute amongst the Rishonim and what the cases of garmi are. There are certain cases that are clear in the Gemara, but there are other cases that aren't. But basically, the laws of garmi apply in situations when the loss is definite, where even though you did an indirect damage to somebody, but the loss is definite. For example, in the case that the Gemara gave, where you opened up the gate and the animal ran out, so even though it was a terrible thing that you opened up the gate, but there was no guarantee that the animal was going to run out, right? It's theoretically possible that the animal could have stayed there, right? If I, another case that's brought in the Gemara, if I put down poison in my, in front of my neighbor's dog, right? I'm sick and tired of that dog running up and down the street unaccompanied every single day, terrorizing my children. So one day I decide I'll get even with him, right? So I go over to his little plate that he puts the dog food in and I put poison in it. Okay? So that, and the dog eats it and dies. So that would be a case of grumma. I didn't kill the dog. If I took a gun and shot the dog, that would be direct damage. But if I put poison and the dog ate it, that's indirect damage. And there's always the chance that the dog would not have eaten it. However, there are certain situations where even though it's indirect, but what you did is going to cause a definite loss. For example, if a person has a shtar, if a person has a contract that, that entitles him to collect money, and the only way he's going to be, he has an IOU note, somebody borrowed money from him and gave him a document to attest to that. And the only way I could, the fellow is going to be able to collect the money is by producing the document. So I go ahead and burn it. Now if I go ahead and burn it, so even though you'll say, well, so I caused him a loss, but I didn't cause him a loss directly, but I caused him a definite loss, because now there's no way he's going to be able to collect the money. Right? If a person has a ticket to a concert or to a ball game or something like that, so I don't know, maybe you'll say that has an inherent value. I don't know if it does or it doesn't, but it could be it doesn't. But nevertheless, when I go ahead and if I go ahead and burn his ticket, right, so assuming it has no inherent value, I guess you'll say it has a face value, so maybe that's not a good example. But a good example would be if I take a check has no inherent value. Right, a check is not money in and of itself. There's the questions amongst the poskim of mitzvahs that require money, whether you could use a check, if you mekadesh an isha with a check, can you be mekayim the mitzvah of biyomo titin schoro? But okay, whatever it is, a check certainly has no intrinsic value. But a person has a check that entitles him to go ahead and collect money from the bank, right? Pay to the bearer. So I go ahead and burn the check. So if I burn, I throw the check, into the ocean. So there, even though the damage that I did was indirect because the thing that I took had no intrinsic value, but nevertheless, the loss is definite. So in those types of cases, a person would be chayiv even b'dinei adon. So when it comes to the laws of grumma, again, you have to be careful. Before a person jumps to the conclusion that, hey, it's not my fault, I only did indirectly, you have to find out that you have to take this into consideration, that on the one hand, you didn't do it directly, but on the other hand, it could be that what you did was a definite loss. And even if what you did was indirectly, but nonetheless, the person is responsible, b'dinei shamayim. Okay, now I'm watching the clock. Just a couple of other areas of a person causing damage that it's kedai to keep in mind. The halachas of Nezikin are very vast, and as I said at the outset, it's just an overview, just trying to bring out some of the basic points that a person should consider. There's another type of damage which is very, very common in our times, which is discussed in the beginning of the Gemara, called the beginning of the Gemara Maseches Bava Basra, and that is called Hezek Re'iyah. Hezek Re'iyah means an invasion of a person's privacy. An invasion of a person's privacy means that if a person, the best thing would be that everyone has a fence around his house and, keeps his window shades down, and that way he could go about what he wants to do in private. But it's not always possible for that to happen. And sometimes a neighbor could see another neighbor in such a way that it makes me nervous. I don't feel comfortable using my property to its full extent because of the fact that my neighbor sees me. or even if it's not my next door neighbor, but a person walking down the street may see me. So I would just like to read, it's not on the sheet, but I would just like to read from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which really summarizes what's the same thing as in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's much more condensed here. The Shulchan Aruch says that, Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, Osu lamad al shtech avero lihistako bo b'shoshi amenes b'kom oser. This is a Gemara, it's been brought in the beginning of Maseches Bava Basra, that a person is not, we believe that there is such a damage that's called ayin hara, that you can give an ayin hara to somebody. And it's brought in halacha. It's brought in halacha that if a person has a field or a farm or whatever that's producing, it's growing, you're not supposed to stand there and stare at it. Because the human nature is that people very often have tzaras ayin, a person feels bad at someone else's success, and therefore to go ahead and gaze upon it creates an ayin hara dynamic, which we spoke about one Sunday morning several years ago, the whole ins and outs of ayin hara. But the fact of the matter is that there is such a thing in halacha, and therefore a person is not allowed to do that. Okay? And he says, and furthermore, he should not, that's the person's property, he certainly should not give an ayin hara to a person, meaning to stand there and look at a person with contempt and say, how come he has all these good things and I don't have them? That's a potential hezek. I don't know if it's guaranteed, but that's a real issue. That's a real issue that a person could be damaged through ayin hara. Rabbi Mekubalim say that a lot of the tragedies that befall people can be traced in some form to ayin hara. That somebody gave ayin hara, and therefore that damaged them. So a person has to be careful. Very hard, because you don't always realize it. But basically, the expression that we have in English that a person should mind his own business in the halacha is multiplied by 100. In other words, a person really has to mind his own business. And then he says further, even if somebody is doing something where there is no issue of ayin hara, alright? If he is doing it in his house, you are not allowed to look and see what's doing. If you walk by a person's house and the window shades are open, and you happen to hear what appears to be loud voices, it sounds like there's a good argument, a good shouting match going on, perhaps between a husband and a wife, perhaps between a parent and a child, and for some reason, you know, they got caught, they didn't close the shades, it's open, and you're walking by in the street. So what do we say? Well, I'm walking in the street. I'm allowed to walk in the street. The halacha is, it is absolutely usur to look in the window. If a person sees that happening, he has to quickly run away. He has to walk away. It's nobody's business. It's nobody's business. This is what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says. He says that this is the type of thing, you have to say to yourself, this is none of my business. I'm getting out of here. And if you're going for a leisurely walk, and you happen to pass by a house where this is taking place, now is the time to practice your running skills. Okay, a person has to start to run, because this is an issur. A person can easily be over this, right? And so too, if a person has a pool in their backyard, and they, for whatever reason, they can't, you know, put a fence, it doesn't work for everybody to put a fence there, but it's none of my business to stare at them. They'll be uncomfortable. I don't want people to see me. So you say, well, if you really felt that way, why don't you put a fence there? You don't know the answer to that. How do you know what the answer is? Right? And what happens if you have a two-story house overlooking someone else's pool? Right? Today, in our neighborhood, it's becoming more and more common, people building up. Right, that Baruch Hashem, people, you know, ability to do this, to build up a two-story house, but the next door neighbor has a swimming pool, and he has a fence around his pool, but his fence doesn't help for your second story. So now what do you do? So whose fault is that? So you'll say, well, tough, go build a Great Wall of China, go build a wall up to the sky, and do that. That's not so simple. It could be, it's very likely that the person who built the second story on his house has a responsibility to put something to block his view. He has to put something there to block his view so that he cannot inhibit his neighbor from using their property. This is what's called hezek riyah, a serious thing. And even though here again, you can't, there's a limit to what a Beis Din can do, because this is certainly a grammar, because of the fact that what did I do to you? I mean, because you're self-conscious, so therefore you're not using your pool because you think I'm there. I'm not even there most of the time, but nevertheless, it doesn't matter, because so in Beis Din, you couldn't get money out of a guy for this. But nevertheless, this is considered a damage. So it's a damage that's ayidei grammar. A person has to, there are a person studies Maseches Bava Basri, you will see that there is an obligation in such a case to build a wall. If you build even without a two-story house, it is forbidden if you're building a house next to someone else's house to have a window parallel to his window. You're not allowed to build a house that your window is parallel to his window, that you could see into his house, because he was there first, and therefore if you're putting a window there now, you could see into his property. Yeah, go ahead.
I hate to draw the parallel to the great Pusik Alfred Hitchcock, rear window, but you happen to see, not unintentionally, but you happen to see somebody shooting somebody else.
Right.
Clearly, it's a community responsibility.
Good. So if it's something like that, first of all, it happens in public, all this is off. In other words, today people like doing private things in public.
Private domain to their private.
So then, I don't know. If you think it's going to cause a sakonis nefashis, then you have a responsibility. You can't, if you know that there are terrible things going on in the house next door, and that the parent is beating up a child, then that's different. I'm not discussing that. That's a different set of circumstances. But we're talking about what's generally labeled as Yentishkeit. In other words, to go ahead and you're walking by, you hear loud voices coming from the house. Oh, I just happen to need to tie my shoe right now. So I'll get down and very slowly listen to everything that's being said. This is usur. It's usur to do this. Okay? A person has a responsibility to run. You have to run. It's none of your business. If you're walking by somebody's property and you see there's something that they're doing, it's always better to just look ahead. Don't look at what they have. Don't look at what they're doing. The Chazal tell us, it's well known, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, that Bilam, it says that before Bilam gave the, what ended up being brachas to the Kral Yisrael, so it says, Vayar Yisrael Shochen L'Shvatov, that he saw the way the Jewish people were camped out. And Rashi tells us, based on the Gemara, that he saw that when they set up their tents, Ein Pischei and Mechuvano Zu Keneged Zu, that the openings to the tents were not facing each other. There was an Inyan of Tznius, and the Inyan of Tznius is not just for highly personal matters. The Inyan of Tznius is, it's nobody's business. It's nobody's business. He can do it. It's his business. It's not my business. And therefore, I have to go ahead and walk away. Yes.
How does it get to Shmia?
Because it says, well, no, I'm saying, so Hezekriya that the Gemara talks about is Hezekriya that you're actually inhibiting the person. But the idea that in general, that between Hezekriya and Ayin Hara and so forth, you know, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that a person has the right to say, this is my house, I'm doing what I want in my house, it's none of your business. Shemein Achofet Shiedu Mimaisav HaMeasakav. That's a person's personal right. Okay, so therefore, to go ahead and invade a person's privacy in any which way is considered, you know, today we have, you know, all kinds of terrible things that go on in the mass media. You have the paparazzi that chase around all the famous people and the total invasions of privacy where everyone is excited about it. And then, you know, this is a terrible kilkel, and everyone reads it and it makes an impression that, yeah, it's all fine and good. I'll have the best piece of Lashon Hara. Right in shul, right? So coming up in a few weeks, you have the first double parsha of the year, right? Vayakol Pekudei, so perfect. The long kriyas Torah, you need plenty of gossip. You have to be armed for such an occasion, right? So I got the best scoop because I saw what was going on. This is called Hezekriya. And finally, yeah.
It's not rapid. Sometimes you have to be curious. I want to see a guy who's
breaking into your door, you have to be curious. I agree. If you see someone who looks like he's breaking in, you notice he's not your neighbor, and he has a hood over his head or a mask, so then I wouldn't say it's an invasion of privacy. Right, I agree with you. Right. But I don't think that heter covers too many cases. Okay, if you ever see that, then you have to report it. That's true. If you see any crime that looks like it's taking place in any any which way, even if it's a domestic situation, that's something else. But a lot of times that's not the case. And finally, the last case that a person has to be on guard not to cause damage would be a case, Bilashon, the Shulchan Aruch says. Bilashon, that to go ahead, what's called Mesira, to go ahead and report someone to authorities. Here, there's a very delicate halacha. It depends if a person is obviously a criminal and is hurting other people, and by you reporting it, it will prevent other people from being harmed. So then, there, generally speaking, is a heter. A person has to find out. But I'm not discussing that. I'm talking about a case where you want to get back at somebody, so therefore, you know, you're angry at him, so you call the IRS and say, hey, by the way, you ever review that guy's taxes? I'm not so sure that, you know, or something like that, where it's being done without the concern of, again, if you're trying to prevent further people from being harmed. So that's very often a different situation, and that the person has to speak to a Rav who's knowledgeable in these halachas to find out, you know, what you could say, what you can't say. But that's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is on a personal vendetta to go ahead and harm someone through words where it's not, he's not a menace, he's not hurting anybody else, but you want to get him. And you're doing it with your words, you could destroy a person's life that way. A person's life can be destroyed that way, and very often, even in a case where there's a suspicion of something, but you have to, Hachayim v'amavis bi'ad haloshon, the pasuk says that life and death is very often a function of words. A person could say something, could destroy a person's life, even if the rumor proves to be false. Even if the rumor proves to be false, but the fact that there was such a rumor could destroy a person's life. So you have to really find that out. And again, today, where, you know, with the internet, where gossip is at an all-time high, and people in all kinds of, you know, situations that they're trying to get back at other people, and they take to the media, they take to this, on a personal issue, this is a very, very serious concern. The poskim speak to the degree that, you know, a person who did it without a heter could lose his whole share in all my book. In other words, because of the fact that you could mamish destroy someone in a way that you really couldn't do through any physical harm. So therefore, these types of situations, when it comes to being a mazik b'lashon, being mazik b'lashon is a very, very serious thing. And I say again, if it's a public menace, it's something else. But if it's a private matter, and two business partners get into a big fight, and one of them wants to get back at the other, and he's gonna do something, he's gonna call the suppliers, and he's gonna say all kinds of things, he's gonna say, he's sending you bad stuff, and who knows why, then you're overpaying, and this and that. You have to be very careful in those situations. Sometimes it may be the right thing to do, because you're causing someone to avert a possible loss if he's taka sending the deficient merchandise. But let's say he's not, and you just want to get him. Or let's say it's within reasonable, you know, it may not be the best stuff, but it's still considered sufficient for what the contract called for, you know, but you want to get him. So this is a mazik b'lashon. These are the types of things that a person has to at all costs try to avoid. So there we have it. The potential to be mazik other people is a lot greater than we think. A person has to always watch to make sure that they are not harming anyone, whether it's physically or, you know, the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, you know, the famous thing that a person puts on his talus in the morning, you could blind the person sitting behind you, right, because you have to put the talus over your shoulder, right? If a person takes the talus, person swings it over his shoulder, and the tzitzis sideswipe somebody right in the eyes. It's happened to me several times, you know, that happens, you know, the gross tzitzis, you know, that he's doing the great mitzvah of Atifas Atalus, right? But what about the person sitting behind you? You say, well, you know, I have the right to put on my talus. That's not an answer. That's not an answer by anyone's standard. It doesn't hold up in the halacha. It doesn't hold up. Before you swing your talus, turn around and see who's sitting there. If there's nobody there, you can swing your talus all you want. But if there's somebody sitting behind you, you have to be careful. And if in fact you cause the person damage, you can happen. You knock the person's glasses off. And it fell to the ground and it broke. So you say, oh, I'm doing a mitzvah. That's no excuse. There's no excuse. So why are you doing a mitzvah? You have no right to do a mitzvah in a way it could hurt somebody. So these These types of things are more common than we think. This is a big theme in Parshas Mishpatim, and like I said at the outset, the Chazal say that a person who's careful in these areas, especially careful, can be truly considered a pious person.